Hello and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Marcel and Ben are thankfully both here as well. Happy New Year to everybody out there, 2024 already. I don't know where 2023 went. But we have to look back at the last race of 2023. Oh no, the last slalom of 2023. I may as well start again. I'm not going to start again, but I should start again. Where Britain's very own Dave Riding absolutely smashed his way to a podium. Great, great way to end the year. Marco Schwarz won, then Clément Noël dropped from first to second, quarter of a second behind. It was an absolutely jam-packed race. Hundredths really did make the difference, really did matter. Boys, gentlemen, welcome. Happy New Year. What do we make of Madonna, Ben?
Which one of you two idiots talked me out of picking Dave? Because that probably would have been the only points I got all Christmas, pretty much. I remember being very excited on the podcast and saying, Dave's going to do well. And one of you told me I was going to be jinxing him, so I changed my mind and went to Fella and suitably jinxed him.
Quite rightly so, because he got on the podium otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. Been... So you jinxed the right person, or from a British perspective, just not the Brit.
But no, it was brilliant. We know Dave loves Madonna, and he was skiing really well, especially that second run was very kind of classic Dave. When he put down the second run, I didn't think it was going to be enough for the podium at the time, but obviously it was. But yeah, he skied really well, and he looks like he's got good rhythm this year. I think it's got to be the best kind of opening couple of results he's had in his kind of World Cup career. So yeah, he's off to a great start. Obviously good to see Noel back. Obviously I said he was pretty much dead to me for the picks until he proved himself, so we'll give him at least one more race before we can see if he can actually maintain some consistency. But Madonna's always a really fun race to watch, and there's something about those night races just make them that bit more exciting as well.
What did you make of it, Marcel?
That's pretty good. I love watching Madonna. I think it's such a great race. And obviously, Dave has done really well. And I mean, that start is, I think, probably his best start, isn't it? And now...
Yeah, I think a fourth and a third. Because normally, what was it? Normally, Premier Neige, isn't it? Val d'Isère, the first slalom of the year. And then, because Dave is quite open about not enjoying Val d'Isère, ends up sort of starting on the back foot a little bit. And then I think he's been fourth in Madonna before. That was quite a few years ago. That was when he was like really under pressure and about to lose his top 15 rank and then never look back, really. But yeah, fourth and a third to kick off the season. He's got to be... I've actually got the standings right in front of me, but he must be properly up there.
He's third, and now, you know, it's Adelboden where he has had a podium, Wengen maybe not so much so far, and then Kitzbühel and then Schladming. I mean, you know, he might be up in contention this year.
Yeah, which sounds absolutely mad saying that. But so no, you're not allowed to pick him anyway, Ben. Definitely not.
Nope, no one's allowed.
I need the points, guys. This is important for me.
Nope.
You're banned. Yeah, exactly.
Synchro banning of picking Brits. Noted. Yeah. Although, if you're banning me from picking Brits, that means if I'm not there, you can't automatically give me Charlie in the GSs. If I'm banned from cursing him.
We're not talking about Brits in general, just Dave.
Noted.
After proposals.
How tight it was. With the top seven after two runs were ranked within half a second of each other.
It's about the only race you can really watch these days. It's super, super tight in slalom. You never know who's going to win. I think this is actually the most interesting of all of them so far.
Oh yeah, definitely agreed. I mean, especially when you see the types of victories that the likes of Odermatt's putting in GS, and obviously Schifrin when she turns it on in the women, some of the margins are so ridiculous. That's why it's really fun watching the slaloms. And obviously on the men's side, they've been so unpredictable and inconsistent the last couple of years. It does make it really exciting. You can sit down and any one of about 10 different people can win every race, and it makes for great racing, although it makes it much harder to pick people because you're never quite sure who's going to finish on any given day either.
Yeah, I mean that top seven is just mad. I mean, Dave talked about it being the wrong side of a couple of hundredths, and we'll talk about it later with Odermatt and him being the wrong side of the hundredths of a second in downhill. but riding right on the right side of it this time, 200ths in front of Haugen, who was fourth. He was 400ths in front of Feller, who was fifth, 500ths in front of Christofferson, who was sixth. And then, yeah, still under a tenth in front of Mayar, who was seventh. So absolutely every single a push moment, snowfall, whatever it is, absolutely making the difference. It is epically good to watch the slaloms at the moment, that is for sure.
You know what's interesting, and who's going to be probably the most pissed off is going to be Christofferson, because now Timon Haugen, who is firstly Norwegian and on the same skis as him, is like,
yeah,
I think he's going to hate that. I think that is, that must be one of the lows for him now.
I was just going to say, he still didn't look comfortable on those skis. I don't know what it is. They didn't look, although Timon's skiing on them looked absolutely fine, but they look a bit soft under his feet when it's really icy. They look like they've got way too much bend in them, and they're just kind of, which is very Christofferson-like. Not like I thought last year, I thought the skis are like absolute boards, whereas this year they look really soft in slalom. I don't know if it was just...
Well, it doesn't look like he's getting a load of feedback from them, does it? It looks like they're just sort of a little bit like they're just flapping around underneath his feet. I don't know. But Haugen's making him work. He is skiing out of his skin as well. So...
Well, but I saw some pictures of Hirscher and Christofferson training together. So maybe he's gonna now, you know, readjust the skis.
Yeah, because you've had what since the last? It was 22nd of December, the slalom. So they've had what?
Well, a good couple of weeks.
2 weeks of, and you can guarantee Christofferson's been like, no, absolutely no Christmas festivities. I don't deserve it. He's busy like thrashing himself, like hitting himself in the back. He's sitting in the woods, like just thrashing himself by the river.
I think they should just put Hirscher in Christofferson's cat suit and helmet and just let him do it.
So let me do that, will you? It's enough from you.
I've designed the skis. They're amazing. Watch me win the World Cup slalom tour with them.
I wonder how far he's behind, actually.
Dude, I'd love...
Behind?
Love to see.
Yeah,
you mean in front?
No, there's no way he's going to be quicker than Christofferson. Like, there's just absolutely no way.
Mate, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like there's no way in hell that he's going to be quicker than Christofferson. I mean, that guy is out for like 4 years now, 3 years now.
Yeah, but he's not really been out. He's been training all the time. He's only 35, and in slalom, poof, that's easy peasy, man. He's not even 35 yet, is he? Is he? Well, he's born in 89, so he'll be 35 this year.
Yeah, but like, Christofferson, I mean, doing it professionally all day, every day. I don't think he's going to be quicker. He's probably close, but there's no way he's going to be quicker. Seriously.
I would so love to. We need somebody on the inside.
Absolutely. Yeah. Intel on the training data. Let us know.
I reckon Raposo would tell you he's got insight, but he wouldn't. He'd be full of it.
I'll ask him. Yeah, but to be fair, he's probably still quicker than Charlie and Giants slalom.
I reckon he's half quicker than 90% of the races in a World Cup GS or slalom.
I have to say, I just went skiing and I have my new Kestley boards on, and I'd fancy myself, actually.
Are you making a comeback, are you?
I'd fancy myself.
Hey, yeah. Your body's a temple. I know you've been treating yourself well over these last few years.
Yeah, I really have.
You're gonna transition that wedding bod into a racing bod again, are you?
Yeah, I might do. I might start for like some dodgy country, get an easy passport somewhere, and then, you know, make a comeback.
I mean, the way some of the Austrian guys ski GS, Marcel, you might just get back in their squad.
Yeah,
I might be the first Olympic champion for that nation. I'm considering it.
I'm already
in talks with other ones. So
you're nearly a Brit now anyway, so you could just, you know, give Raposo a run for his money. You know,
funny enough, I could get my citizenship now, but I don't want to give my Austrian away. So I can only have one. Austria's can only have one, which is a bit annoying.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Unbelievable. You're taking the work, you're in London, but you're still a...
It's not taking anyone's job.
Second-class cities.
anyway, back to the racing. Okay, so we did very well celebrating Dave's victory, Dave's podium over in Madonna. And then the short Christmas break was over pretty quickly, and it was on to Bormio for the men, and they raced down the Stelvio on what was looked as brutal as ever. It wasn't an awful lot of snow, but so all of the features of the race circuit, all of the features of the track, sorry, were absolutely pronounced. Everything looked rough, ready, looked brutal. Cyprius Sarrazin, what an absolutely amazing, amazing ski. Took the win over Marco Odermatt, still searching for that first ever downhill victory. Somebody else he's got to try and beat now. And then Cameron Alexander for Canada in third, 1.23 back. Justin Marussier got close to a podium in fourth, 1.81. And then Kriechmeier, 2.07 back. That was also the day where Marco Schwarz did his knee. What an absolute shame that is. Totally robbed of that one. And Kilder decided that he didn't fancy the bottom half of the Stelvio. I don't know where to start. Marcel, why don't you kick us off, mate?
I mean, to be honest, like the French ski team, like that was coming this year. We yeah. said it at the last races. They are skiing really, really well, and they have, I think, five people or something in the top 15, which is pretty impressive. Sarrazin was always very quick on the training runs, so you know that was coming. It's a bit of a shame for Odermatt because I mean he's only 900. So I guess it's still the Wendy Holden of downhill racing. Probably. But you have to look at like the distances or the time differences between the people. I mean, you know, the third is already 1.23 behind. So Odermatt was the only one who could, you know, keep up with Sarrazin, and the rest was pretty much, you know, out of contention this time.
Ben?
I would really have liked to have seen Paris stay in that race because his top section was absolute lightning. And after winning the downhill before, it looked like he was back on some kind of form and he was flying on that top section and those splits were looking really good. And I was like, oh, maybe I haven't cursed someone, and he fell over. I was like, nope, curse is still working. But he looked brilliant for the amount of time he was in it. And obviously he's got a lot of previous at Bormio, more than anyone else. But the skiing from Sarrazin was, because he went quite early, it was tough to gauge if he'd absolutely nailed it or if when the likes of Kilder and Odermatt and people came down, it would be shown to be just a solid run.
He took the lead from Sander by 2 seconds, but none of the big guns had come down yet.
Yeah, those first few people who just, with a lot of the speed race, you just kind of look at it and go, did they take enough risks? Or if they took loads of risks, did they make too many mistakes and drop speed? Whereas it sounds like just looked like every risk he took worked, built up speed, he didn't drop anywhere. And it was, I think the speed Odermatt had in the bottom section made it really close. I don't know what special non-fluoro wax they're putting on his skis, but it looked like he wasn't going to be particularly close. And then that bottom section, he absolutely reeled in a load of time out of nowhere.
It's such a brutal hill. But it looked wicked. And those two guys, I liked Odermatt's interview. He's talking to the guys in the finish area. He was saying that, you know, he had a near perfect run, and which meant Sarrazin must have had to have even the more perfect run.
The best run of 100% the best run of his life.
Yeah.
It was
absolutely mad. And then great for Cameron Alexander, another name in the mix. Marussier, somebody that wasn't really supposed to feature, came very close. Kriechmeier, he talked about in his race interview after it, I think, or was it the next morning? And he was just like so embarrassed with how he'd done and was like saying he skis, you know, I can't remember what words he used, but such lame skiing, didn't take any risks down the bottom. And he was just sort of like chastising himself through the bottom. But none of the big guns really stood up though, did they?
It's not easy to take risks on that hill when you think of what the kind of repercussions are for the risks going wrong. Like you said, with the bumps, and it looked mega icy and it looked kind of perfect conditions. But we've talked about it every year when we talk about Bormio, it's such a brutal downhill that you can have quite a good line going into the important sections, and just catching a tiny bump can just ruin your day completely.
Well, look at Paris. He just hit a little bump coming into Cheslat, didn't he? And that was unbalanced him and he was down.
Yeah, definitely. We should probably talk about Kilder not skiing over a bump, but apparently a stone that caused him to not even ski out, but for want of a better word, just quit on a run, which is
That was
probably
so
one of the most
weird.
un-Kilder things I've ever seen. I guess I've just said it's really dangerous, and it's a really difficult and taxing downhill, but at the same time, he didn't. From visibly, it didn't look like he was sliding all over the place because he'd hit a stone and had no grip on one side. I don't know what you saw on commentary. It didn't look to me like he was doing anything other than skiing normally. Maybe not his absolute best, but it didn't look like there was clearly
I
a
think, I
problem with
mean,
his skis.
he may have hit, well, you got to give him the benefit of doubt. He said he hit a rock, but yeah, he wasn't on his edges. But you kind of think like you're in a fight for maybe not the overall, but you're certainly in the fight for the downhill standings. And you know, Kriechmeier said that he hit a rock and ended up 2 seconds off in fifth. And so you're like, you know, unless you literally tore the edge out of your ski where you can't stand on it anymore. And he said it was on his left foot, and the turn that he pulled up on was a right-footed turn. So he managed to finish the turn on the left foot that was where he hit the rock, and then pulled up on the right one. You're like, do you know what? Like you've got to give him the benefit of that, because why would he not be up for the fight? But it was just so weird. Just wasn't it didn't seem very Kildery just to throw in the towel, to not even like ski his way to the bottom. Could you imagine Koosh doing that? I couldn't imagine Koosh like pulling up, and you know, he'd ski down with half a ski on, with
My
his like
body
binding
down.
flapping.
Your body did ski down with one ski there.
But he did ski down with one ski at the Olympic Games. It
Yeah,
just I just thought it was really, really just it was odd. It was really odd, and it felt like there was more to it, but you know,
can't get
I
called a
don't.
Viking with behavior like that, I tell you.
I mean, to be fair, like to his defense, like if you don't have the edge and you can feel it, and he just maybe didn't feel comfortable. I'm not trying to, well, I'm kind of trying to defend him. I've had that before, where you literally have zero grip if half of your edges is missing, and those guys obviously they're feeling it. Any
Yeah.
sort of uneven on the edges or anything, they will feel it because you use the whole ski throughout the turn, and if there is a piece missing where you hit the rock, or not even missing, but the sharpness gone off or whatever, it's just tough. And I get it. I do get it. And if he really felt it, that it's that bad, it's probably just better not to go down there. I mean, some people would have definitely, continued. But I guess we have to defend him a tiny bit on this one.
Yeah. No, I mean, if he thinks it's unsafe, and he did the right thing. You know, he didn't want to end up in the nets or end up being injured for because he was skiing down with his equipment not right. I just think it's really odd. I just don't think it was it like for him just to stop rather than just to keep going, get to the bottom and go, oh, there was, you know, half my edge was missing, or at least to try and do a turn on that ski where you'd be like, oh, there's absolutely no way you can do it. I just thought it was, you know, I just thought
Yeah,
it
it was
was
a
weird.
strange one. He'd said it had happened a bit earlier on the course, so he had been trying to ski with it. But then his splits were fourth, third, and third. So if he thought that was sliding all over the place, he could
You'd
have
think that
finished
he
up on
might
the he
be
could have finished up
pushing
on the
points.
podium and said, "Well, I did that with one of my edges missing." But yeah, it's a very strange one. It's not something we see very often, which is probably why it surprised us so much to see it happen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure. We'll see if he's got his confidence come. The big race is coming up.
But then the thing that most people were talking about was the end of Marco Schwarz's season. That was an, you know, absolutely gutting. So obviously for him, it's gutting for him, but it's gutting for us as ski racing fans as well, because it was this beautiful story of like a massive underdog trying to do all of, well, not massive underdog, well, I guess sort of an underdog against the guy who just set the record haul amount of points in the men's standings last year. And then for him, you know, trying a different tactic of skiing all of the races all of the time, winning in Madonna, winning in GS, like the or second in GS, the guy's like was everywhere in all disciplines, and the splits were pretty good as well. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, it's just we don't get to talk about it anymore.
Yeah,
Who
I mean
wants
it's
to go for it?
let me take the Austrian take on it. I think it's gutting for him because he was in such great form, and he skied well in all disciplines, as you quite rightly said. But it was quite interesting, you know, the so-called skiing experts come out of their holes now telling everyone, oh, he shouldn't have not done downhill, you know, he was maybe tired, like he doesn't have experience, it's just utter bullshit. And he was, you know, on his Instagram, he was saying, you know, for the expert, I would have done the same thing over and over again, which is fair enough because, you know, he's an athlete, he's in contention for the overall World Cup, he's in great form, you know, he that's downhill, he might be good because you don't need to glide much. So, you know, then coming out of their hole saying, oh, he should have not done it, it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's really a shame for him, but and it's obviously also, you know, getting harder and harder the older you get coming back from an injury, and we all know that. But I think he probably still has it in him next year. I'm sure he will, and you know, he's gonna come back stronger. For us on the podcast, it's a bit of a shame, because who are we gonna pick now? But yeah, I guess it's
I
just
think Odomat would miss him as well. I think I just kind of feel like Odomat was reveling in the fact that somebody was pushing him all the way, because
yeah,
obviously
which
had
is
it. Go on.
now it's nice, right? You want to have someone who you compete against. As if he's now winning him, I mean, I can't remember exactly how many points he's ahead, but it's probably like some 400 or 500 points ahead of the second one, who is still skiing. And I mean, it's like, you know, if he doesn't get injured, well, it's a done deal basically.
It'll
Without
be
chance.
it won't be that much, because he wanted to pick up 180 points, and he was second going in, wasn't he, by 8 or 9 points, so 100
Well, yeah,
less than
obviously.
200. But then by now, that who nobody else is going to get close. No one's going to go anywhere close to Odomat.
I have the standings in front of
No,
me,
but I
so
don't. Yeah,
636 points.
it's
So
already
our
got
team,
like a 400-point lead.
it's 400 points lead already.
oh, is it? Sorry.
Yeah.
Over anyone not named Marco Schwartz, yeah.
Over the next best. Yeah,
Yeah.
sorry. Yeah. What was
So
it over?
that's
What is it over Schwarz at the moment? Obviously not that
like
much.
270 points.
Yeah. So it's go. Who's third? Who's the new stunt? Kilder. Yeah,
Killed.
there you go.
It would be further up if he finishes his races.
Yeah. Ski to the bottom. He might get a few more points.
Yeah,
Wee says us sitting on the sofa. Nice. But yeah, that is such a shame. What were the press been quite hard on him now, all of a sudden?
whom?
The press
Schwartz.
on
On
Schwartz,
Schwartz.
sorry. Yeah.
No, but I was just saying, oh, you know, kind of like, oh, should he have skied that race? And, you know, was he too tired? Did he have enough experience to go on this super hard downhill? Does it, you know, was it necessary? Well, of course it was bloody necessary because, you know, he wanted to do all the downhill discipline. He wanted to do all the downhills this year, almost all of them. And he was in great shape. I mean, you know, Gröden was pretty good. Super G was, you know, impeccable. It's like, I just hate those people who really don't do anything all day long, like usually journalists, and then they like, you know, coming up with those theories. They just better shut up and just, you know, focus on the actual racing rather than,
Go, go,
you know,
go.
bashing someone who's already injured. Just like let him do it. There was a reason why he was skiing. There was a reason why the ski team would have let him ski.
And it was working. It was working, wasn't it?
Go back into your hole. Who cares?
It was working. He was, and that top section looked bloody good as well, didn't it? That how he looked like he was skiing really quick, looked very comfortable. He was certainly taking the risk. Did he have the power to do Bormio? I don't know. Like, it's a tough place to go. You need to be really strong to ski hard down Bormio. Because he's got the talent. He's got the
He
skill.
is one of the strongest athletes. Like he's incredibly strong. Like there
Yeah, I bet
is
his power to weight must be pretty good.
nothing wrong with him. He's quick on his feet. You know, he's solid technique. He's, you know, physically very strong. I mean, there's nothing wrong. It was just very unfortunate.
Just got squeezed into the back seat. It was bumpy. It was tough. Like, as tough as it's been for a long time.
Exactly.
It looked like he might have got away with it at one point, because it didn't look, you know, the way he got up straight away, sort of up onto his feet, you kind of thought, oh, might have just got away with that one. And then also watching him walk off, and then all of a sudden watching him sort of stand there talking to doctors, and then the helicopter comes and you're like, oh no, he's not got away with it.
Just heartbreaking. I think he's been getting back to, I think it took him a lot longer than we realized to get back to his absolute best after the ankle injury that he
Yeah.
had. Like he was back starting World Cups and stuff, but he didn't quite have the same snap in his slalom turns all of last season. That's why the win at Madonna was so exciting, because it was just like, okay, he's now got everything back firing again. He's right where he kind of was a couple of years ago, but has also added this kind of speed element to his game. And to see that taken away in one day is really, really upsetting for him and us as fans. But Bournemouth, like you said, it's one of those tracks that you said, I didn't think it was too bad a crash at the time. Like, obviously every crash is bad when you're doing downhill, but it didn't look like, oh no, he's kind of cartwheeled and his ski stayed on, those kind of things. There are some kind of telltale signs when people crash, when you just as a racer or ex-racer, you just go, oh yeah, that's something's probably gone there. It didn't look like it had that feel, though. I've seen some stills of his knee just before he crashed, and some things saying it might have buckled just before he crashed, so it might have gone in the turn. Is why the crash didn't look as bad, but it's horrible, and it's taken away a kind of big storyline for the season. But all we can say really is, obviously, hope Schwartz comes back next season, gets fit and strong, and has everything ready to go. And I'm sure we'll find plenty of other things to talk about the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think it's tough though, isn't it? Because you've got most knee injuries like that, because it's ACL and some other damage in there as well. Most of those take a good 9 months to get back from. And then so you're sort of catching the back at the tail end of the summer if you're lucky for training. And then the first slalom rolls around mid-November now. So all of a sudden, and obviously the GS in thingies at the end of October. So race against time already to be fit to make it back for the start of the season. But I guess at least he's got a bit of time to come back, focus probably a little bit on Schladming at World Champs in February. So I guess probably in all reality, that's probably the target to be as fit as possible. But I'm sure he'd love to be fit for the start of the season, but it's an uphill battle even for that. Super G. That was a demolition by Marco Odermatt. Took the win by nearly a second, 0.89 in front of Raphael Haase. A surprise, surprise. Yeah, I guess it was a surprise. Second place, Kilder in third, 1.31 back. Kriechmeier fourth, 1.45 back. And Marussier with another top five in fifth, 1.76. Sarrazin DNF and Dominic Paris, Mr. Bormio, missed the finish.
I mean, he missed most of the gates. He was out after about five gates, wasn't he? Just
Yeah.
another. That was kind of uncharacteristic. He looked almost like he was over the top, kind of trying to make up for the downhill. He went so hard out of the gate, and yeah, just again, one of the bumps just took him out. Got a bit too inside, or did he always goes inside pretty early, but the bump just kind of
Did
clipped his
exactly.
feet, and
It
he
was the
was.
same. It was the same error, wasn't it, in reality, that of the day before.
Yeah, they had a bit of a bad day, the Italians, didn't they? Because Casse came out, and Inhofer ended up in the nets
Oh,
in
mate,
what
that
looked
was
like quite a bad crash as well. So,
massive hit.
yeah, for and it didn't really see it coming from Inhofer. Like in the run, it kind of came out of nowhere. His one, I think you were kind of mid-sentence when he did it, Ed, on commentary. Like there was nothing. It wasn't like he was flying on the back seat, on the seat of his pants, all over the place. He looked in
No.
reasonably good control, and
I think
then
it's going quite quick as well, relative for, you know, for his sort of form over the last few years. I mean, he loves it gnarly like that, so he would have been reveling in it. But yeah, real shame. He took a massive. Looks like he got a couple of cuts to the back of his calf. It's hard to see on his Instagram because he doesn't say where the cut is, but it looks like it's on the back of his calf. Which a couple of people were asking about his cut-proof leggings and stuff or his thermals, whatever. But if he was wearing them, they didn't work.
I guess they only work to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, when he hit that A net almost sort of, perpendicular to it, just absolutely slammed into it, didn't brush the side of it at all. It was properly into it. I don't know where to start, apart from Marco Odermatt, absolutely it terrorized the field. It was unbelievable skiing yet again, and he just a class of his own. No, Sarrazin went. He went out relatively early on. His split was okay before the crash, but nobody, absolutely nobody, was able to live with Odermatt yet again. The guy's now got three red bibs, Super G downhill and giant slalom to go along with his overall massive lead. The dude is just ridiculously firing at the moment.
He needs to take up slalom. Just go for all of them.
No, because we need somebody else to win. Otherwise, it'll be boring.
You know, it'd be really fun if he just rolls out slalom wins, though. I would find that hilarious.
Do you remember when Herman Meyer was like, oh, I'm going to take on slalom? And he came eighth in his first race or something like that. And he's like, it's too boring. I'm not going to do it anymore.
No, I can't remember. Did that happen?
So he just, I think I need to look it up, which what kind of result he had at the end. But he was like, oh, I'm just going to do slalom just for the fun. And then he ended up being eighth or something like that. And he was like, it's too boring for me. It's too slow. Too many gates.
So too many turns.
Too much like hard work, Herman. That's what it is. Yeah, exactly.
I actually need to look it up. Wait, give me a couple of minutes.
You look it up.
You did go in the background. We'll talk CPG.
What did you make of it, Ben? The results? I mean, it was a foregone conclusion. I'd be very surprised. Gareth hasn't actually written in, and I haven't actually asked him actually for the stats, but I'm guessing 99%, apart from you, Ben, picked over.
Yeah. I probably picked Paris since he ended up in the nets.
Yeah.
no, I think I picked Creekmeyer on the for the CPG, and again he was fourth. So the curse continues.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I feel like every man and his dog's going for Odomat. But why wouldn't you? I mean, it's just so it's.
Oh yeah.
You know.
He is. He's skiing brilliantly, and there's no stopping him. For all the talk of hundreds in downhill. In Super G and GS, people are lucky if they can get within a second of him. It really is impressive to watch. He just looks like he's got so much more time. And when people like Kildare are clearly exerting tremendous amounts of power, he just looks like he's floating. When obviously he is putting down a lot of power, it just doesn't look like it takes any effort for him to do it. And that is the mark of, you know, incredible skiing. As we talk about Shiffrin, when she's at her absolute best, doesn't look like she's trying, and that's what Odomat looks like when he's skiing well. It's just it is phenomenal to watch. But I was really impressed with Haase. Obviously, you know, coming second's always great, even if you are best part of a second off the winner. But to take it to Kildare on a, you know, Kildare didn't do any massive mistakes, had a couple small errors, but nothing too bad. If you can beat Kildare on a good day, you're skiing well. And I think the Austrians kind of need that, because Creekmeyer's, he's had the win in Super G, but he's, like you said, his comments over the weekend where he's not happy with his skiing clearly and needs to find that fluidity back in his racing that we're used to seeing so much of.
Have you found what you're looking for, Marcel?
I have found it. He was 10th. It was in Visalign.
He DNF'd.
Well, that's pretty good for his first slalom race ever. Like, you know, rocking up 10th position and then
what bib did he start, you can't
see anymore because it's so far back. It was 1998, on the 18th of January 1998.
He's getting some training in for the Olympics in Nagano. That's what it was just getting some slalom in for the super combined.
That could have been actually,
that's maybe why he nailed himself in the speed races, because he was tired from doing slalom,
tired from doing so many turns.
Funny enough, I watched this video on Instagram about his crash again, and it's just unbelievable how he got back up and won like two gold medals. He's just, you know, Hirscher is obviously the greatest, I guess, in terms of wins, but no one comes even close to Herman Meyer when he comes to, you know,
the legend.
Unbelievable he was.
Yeah, just the legend. You know, there's nobody else that is coming close.
There is nobody else. There is just nobody else. Herman Meyer is unbelievable.
I think the only other legendary stuff that comes close, and maybe it's my age, my generation, but you'd say Bodie's name gets bandied around a lot. Herman Meyer's name gets bandied. You know, these legends of ski racing.
I remember when I met Herman Meyer at the race, I think it was in Germany, and I had a brand new hoodie, and he wouldn't sign it, so he signed my forehead, and this is real story, and I did not wash my forehead for months. I swear.
why wouldn't he sign your hoodie?
Because he said it's too nice. It looks too nice. It's brand new, so he wouldn't sign.
Whereas your face, on the other hand, does not look nice. I'll sign that.
He's like, that's already a mess. I can feel it.
I was about 5 years old, and he was like, thanks for calling me ugly when I was 5 years old, you two. You're going to get censored. But no, I mean,
You should try and cancel him. I think you should I think you should put it on Twitter.
Cancel. I cancel YouTube because you're being rude.
Oh,
I'm going to start a hashtag, cancel the ski racing podcast.
dare
It just
you?
can't be that hard these days.
What's that?
It can't be that hard these days.
No,
Everything
I
gets
don't think it is. I think we flirt with it every so often.
canceled.
I mean, the Super G was just next level. There's nothing, I don't think there's anything else to talk about because Audemars was just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
Where are we at with the kind of Pantaro speed journey? It's not looking brilliant so far. It came ninth, but just in terms of he said, "I'm giving up slalom to pursue this, so I can train more." And I know we haven't had a ton of races yet, and obviously we've had all the cancellations at the start of the year, but that was probably one of the most technical Super Gs you're going to get that most aligns with his skill set. And he didn't put any splits down that made you think this is amazing. I know we've seen him go really fast in Super Gs before, but I don't want to say is he past it? Like, and obviously we know we have seen his best kind of come and go, but it feels just like a bit of a weird start to the season for him.
Well, it
I
kind of
see his
feels like
name
an
kind of popping up, but
it
like his
feels like a
GS doesn't
normal
look that good either.
yeah but it feels like a normal start to the season over the last couple of seasons, doesn't it? I mean, like you say, like he gave up slalom to focus more on speed, but I think he would have scored those results in the last couple of seasons still doing slalom. So it is an interesting one. I don't get it, but I don't know, maybe he's just doing less races, maybe. Well, because how old is he? Is he 30? Was he 30? 233.
32, turning 33 in a couple of months, I guess.
So he's not exactly old. It's not exactly like he'll be feeling the pace with his fitness. So I don't know. Weird one. Very
Well, I
good
mean,
point, Ben.
if you look at the results, he's only like he had three, one, two, three top six in giant slalom, 5, 5, and six, and the best, ninth in Super G, 29th in Super G. It's good. It's all right,
I tell you
but
what's happened. He's lost his best serviceman. That's what happened.
lost his mojo.
Lost his mojo. That might be true. So yeah, that was the Super G. The women were racing over in Lienz in a very, very green looking Austria. And they raced GS first and then slalom. Schifrin did the double, absolutely smashed it. She won in front of Brinoni, who was 0.38 back, went from fifth to second with a second run charge. Sarah Hector back on a podium. Good signs for her. 0.45 back, moved, just dropped a place from second to third. Grenier fourth. Scheib from Austria. Good showing from her in fifth, 8 tenths back. Lara Gut-Bahrami, bit further back in sixth. And then big shout out to AJ Hurt from the American team. Absolutely flying in 11th. She's coming on absolute great guns. The Americans doing good job across the wider team. But Michaela Schifrin, business as usual for her, been continuing with her early season form. Just another a sort of effortless Ben. You were talking about it before, weren't you, about Schifrin at her best. I'm not sure if her giant slalom is quite vintage just yet. It certainly looks like her slalom might be after that next day. But she is looking very, very relaxed and was very calm, especially in GS.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Schifrin in the GS. We said a few times we're not quite sure where her GS skiing is, and again, being held to the most incredibly high standards that she set,
Yeah.
obviously for most other people, just phenomenal all the time. But just the standard she set when she hasn't quite hit that mark in GS, we've been wondering why, and is she quite there? But it looked like everything suited her this weekend, whether it was the snow, the course, or she just got the setup that she really wanted. Brignone made a lot of mistakes on the first run, and that probably cost her the chance for the win. It wasn't a few seconds win, like you said. It was 0.4 or 0.38, and I think Brignone will probably be rueing the mistakes of the first run that cost her. But again, I think there's that women's GS is quite a good fun field as well. A bit like we talked about with the men's slalom, there's a few different people that could win so far. Brignone's had a flying start, but we know the likes of Hector and Grenier and Gooperami and Vlahova have got it in them as well to challenge Shiffrin on their day. So it's one of the more exciting ones to watch. And I think the Goggia story is just getting better and better as well with her GS. She was eighth, and that's like three top tens now, I think, in GS she's done. So it's not gonna be too far before she's starting in that first seed. And then we can really see what she's got on a clean track.
Marcel, did you catch that one?
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Classic. That's a classic one.
No, I'm actually just, you know what? I'm just looking something up. And so Shiffrin, over her whole career, has had 66% of all the races she's done as she has been on the podium, and she won 35% of all the races she has
It's
done.
just, it's unreal. The stats are just unreal.
I mean, you could have like a little gamble when she's going to have her 100th World. I'm pretty sure it's going to happen this year. 100 World Cup wins this year. Seven more to go. I think she's going to make that easily this year.
It does seem like it's on the cards. It's only seven. What you got? We got double tech this coming weekend in Kranjska Gora. That's 95. Then you've only got five more.
Because I probably about the end of be by the end of January, Marcel, the end of this year.
What are the next? There's a couple of downhills and Super G coming up, I think. But I mean, she will be going 200. Do you think she's just gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna retire now? Can't be bothered anymore. Too easy.
I don't know. It's so hard to it. I mean, they sort of run their own program, don't they? Those guys don't really sort of they pick and choose and do what they want. So I don't know. They'll probably target it. Maybe they'll just sort of she'll get to 99 and then wait and do it in Killington next year. Has two opportunities to do it in Killington. Do it on home snow. Make a real fanfare about it. Get like some jets flying over.
That would be quite a show because the overall World Cup, I mean, he's going to win it anyway.
Yeah, so she could just, get it all American pomp and ceremony, get some jets flying over, just the whole course is just red, white, and blue.
The problem is, if she doesn't want to win, she can't start. Like, she can't start a single race because
No.
even with her probably like breaking a bit, she's like, oh shit, that was not enough. Like, I walked down the last three gates, so that wasn't enough. Oops.
Definitely not be what work wonders for the win percentage either. But let's talk Austrian. How do we have a race in Austria with eight Austrians not making the second run?
It's absolutely ridiculous. Honestly, I think.
I mean, fair play to Julia Scheib and
No, I think she.
saving some graces and having that kind of Austrian on the in the top 10 or top 5. But the people you normally expect a bit more of, Linsberger, Brunner, Haase, Kapaura, Ellenberger, all not qualifying. That's shocking.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it is. All throughout the whole ski team, basically, it's shocking. I mean, Haase had a second place, but Kriechmeier is far away from where he wants to be. There's no one in giant slalom, women's giant slalom. There's no one really, bar Schwarz, in men's giant slalom. It's not looking good. Let's put it that way. It's
Well,
not looking.
and now no Schwarz as well. So,
It's not looking even worse. But I don't know what's going on. And then, you have stories like this girl, Franziska Gritsch, she's dating now some Austrian coach, and she's not training with the ski team anymore because God knows what happens there. So because they thought it's not a good idea, obviously letting him train out all the other girls and favoritizing her potentially. I mean, it's just a bit of a mess, quite honestly. And I don't know how to get out of it because if you look at the European Cup, there's not much coming up either. There is, some people like that Zwischenbrucker guy in Val d'Isère was pretty good, but they are really struggling. And I feel like they're in a situation like the Swiss were, maybe 7 years ago, where they had like literally nobody. And
But
they
it's
will
gone
have to
to
go through this, and they will have to really think hard what they're doing, how they're doing things, and how they're doing things with the youth. And like, I don't know. I mean, I don't have enough, insights into it, all of it, but it was a long time coming.
yeah, but
You know, it's
that's the problem is it's already done, right? The problem's already there. So no amount of changing coaches now, you're not going to create, you're not going to. It might sound a bit harsh. I don't think you're going to create champions from like skiers that haven't already got a bit of that in them. I'm trying to pick my words carefully because there's some very talented ski racers, obviously. But do you know what I mean? Like you've already missed the boat in terms of this next group that are coming through, or the lack of group that's coming through. And it's again, like you say, the Swiss had it. They were nowhere for 10, 12 years. They didn't win a slalom for like 12 years or something, because they missed the boat. And fundamentally from the bottom, it broke down. And obviously it takes time for each of the generations to get their way through to be able to bring new champions along. And no amount of changing coaches is going to make the big enough difference for them to turn it around, right?
Well, the thing is, you know, changing coaches might be helpful, but what they do is like they just switch them around, which is a silly idea. The problem I have with the Austria ski team is probably like my thoughts. Can they actually change themselves? That's the question, you know. I think there is a lot of stuff that needs to be changed, and also, you know, with the young ones. I mean, other nations, you know, they don't get everything, you know, put up their feet, you know, they don't have to do anything really in Austria, which could be something. And you know, I get it, it's expensive, and you know, it's great to have that support,
What,
but are
too
they
cushy?
even,
They're too protected.
yeah, I mean, they're like, you know, they're sleeping on like very nice down pills or whatever, not you know,
Pillows.
it's like pillows. It's just like I'm not sure what's happening, but they fundamentally need to change things. You know, it doesn't matter whether they had a 1, 2, 3 in the first race. It doesn't matter where they have like a second, you know, spot here and there. As a team, they're not doing well. They're not doing well at all.
And we know how important it is. You know, we've talked about it umpteen times, haven't we? Where you need people around you doing well, otherwise you just can't get dragged along.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, like, obviously, you kind of said we need to start from the bottom and build back up again, but is there hope for the likes of Scheib? She is that bit younger than, you know, Leansberger and Tripper and some of the others. In she's like 25. Like she skied really well. Do you see enough in her skiing that she can, I guess, push on and be that? I guess what we probably would have hoped Brunner would have been if she wasn't constantly getting injured. That kind of like good GS skier that kind of, you know, is pushing for those podiums regularly, or do we think that might be just be not a one-off because she's clearly a good skier, but you know, is she, do you think she's a top five skier or closer to like a mid-teens skier?
I do think she's actually a great skier. I really like her style, her technique. Like, you know, she's trying to push. I think she's a bit, you know, she's not very heavy. Like there are obviously things that she might, you know, can bulk up a bit and stuff. But what I like about her is that she doesn't, and this is part of the problem, I think. Back in the days, the Austrians were quite up their own asses. Sorry for saying that this way, but you know, having that very narrow mindset of everyone needs to ski a certain way and it's just not working, right? Not everyone does need to ski in a certain way. It's all about, you know, the individuality of people. Like Hirscher ski completely different. Like Marcus Mars skis completely different. What I don't get is, you know, coaches then being on the hill saying like, oh, you need to do this or you need to do that, because that's part of what we, you know, see as our identity. But that's not the way how it's supposed to be. That's supposed to be, you know, you have your technique, you have your style, we make it better the way it is, make it quicker the way it is, rather than, you know, pushing someone into a box where the Austrians, you know, during the summer in some resort think about, oh, how should it look like? Don't think it's the right way to do it.
I think you're probably right. Slalom goes to Michaela Schifrin yet again. Absolutely demolished this. We thought that Odomat demolished the field in the Super G. Michaela Schifrin absolutely was in a class of her own. Took the win in front of Lena Dürr by 2.34 seconds. Gissin was third, 2.45. Sven Larsson, 2.94. And Petra Vlahova, 3.24. Over 3 seconds away. And yes, she made some mistakes, but she didn't make no massive mistakes. Paula Maltzan, feel for her a little bit, went from second to DNF. She was second at the last split before her DNF, which was right at the bottom. So feel bad for her. She was going pretty well. And Charlie Guest missed out on a second run by 600ths of a second. Go on, Ben.
Moxa, we've talked about her, that she is exciting and fun to watch, but that was so frustrating to watch because she looked like she was trying to push Shiffrin on her run. Obviously, Shiffrin was an absolute mile in front, but the top couple splits, I think she built her advantage, or certainly the top split, she built on her advantage and looked like she was absolutely flying. But yeah, it's just that we've said it on commentary and we've chatted about it before. She has her hips so far back that when you make an error, if you don't recover immediately, it's game over. And that's kind of what it was. But it was great to see her kind of second place after the first run of a slalom, like we always talk about the potential being there. And I think that will just make her confidence grow even more. And I don't think it'll be too long before we get a few kind of Shiffrin Malts and 1-2s.
Yeah, we've had one already. I think it might have been Semmering that we've had a 1-2 before for those two, but it looked very close to being on the cards. Marcel, what can you add to Michaela Schifrin's dominating performance?
Nothing,
No.
absolutely nothing.
I mean, she looked so calm. I mean, obviously, it's pretty easy to be calm when you're 2 seconds in front. But even on the first run, like that, it looked like the slalom cut up a bit more than the GS, in terms of the ruts and stuff. And sometimes we see, you know, people with bibs like 1 and 2 getting the best run of it, and then people 7 or 8 not being able to ski the way they want to sometimes. Shiffrin, one of the worst draws she's had in a while, went down 7 and it looked like this they completely cleared the course for her. She just skied exactly how she wanted to, where she wanted to, both runs. Even after the 30 people had been down on the second run, she skied exactly the way she wanted
It
to, and
was mad, wasn't it?
it's so incredible to watch. I think sometimes we take for granted how good she is because she is so good, and I'm sure we did the same, or I remember us doing the same with Hersha, and we probably do already with Odemat. And sometimes it's boring when she wins every race, but it is when you just watch the skiing and focus on it, it is incredible. I was very surprised by Vlahova, the way she's been skiing slalom this year. I couldn't quite work out where the speed was. It looked like she knew she wasn't going fast and was trying to fight for more speed, and it was just slowing her down. But yeah, that's not something we've seen from her in slalom in a while. That was kind of a bit of a surprise. But I quite like the course sets as well. The first one seemed quite straight and quick feet, and the second one had kind of huge offset in it.
I think it was it was a couple of big nice news out of that race was Gissin, Michelle Gissin being back on a podium. It's been a while since she's been there. Sven Larsson, after a very difficult start, she was in fourth. She was third after the first run, just obviously drops a place down. So one of those where if you take Michaela Schifrin out of the game, there's some big performances in there. Certainly some sort of turning arounds of some bad luck or some bad form early on. Again, they've just got to try and work out how to get closer to Schifrin or rely on errors from Schifrin, which, as Marcel's already pointed out, doesn't really happen.
No, that's true. And for all of the Austrian bashing in the GS section, having 4 in the top 10 in the slalom is good. Holmes being slightly better to them on the slalom day. And I think similarly we talked about can't remember who it was now, coming back to form. But Gail Huber coming back from her injuries, she started to put a run of results together as well now. And hopefully see her starting somewhere inside the 20s rather than outside, because obviously she's got that kind of Olympic pedigree from years gone by. And she's only like 25 or something, isn't she? Also, might be wrong with that. So 25, 26 maybe.
I think she's 20, 25, 26, 26, which is still a good age, though.
Yeah, so there's good signs there, certainly in the slalom side, and she's one of the skiers that has done it in all kind of different conditions in the past. So it's not one of the people you can say, oh, she just likes either a flat track or forgiving snow. Like, she can ski well on anything. So I really want to see her kind of stay healthy. Seems like we say that for so many races, but just stay healthy and keep putting these results together, and maybe come next season, gives you a friend a run for her money if we're lucky.
Yeah. I mean, I just love to see, I just, yeah, as fun as it is to watch Michaela Schifrin just do things on skis that no other woman's able to do, I would like it to be a little bit more of a conundrum of who's going to win on a race by race basis, which I guess you could say arguably they say the same thing about Odomat and GS and slalom, GS and Super G. So maybe we should just be thankful that Schifrin's only absolutely smashing people in
Soon to be
slalom at the
slalom.
moment.
Odomat soon to be slalom.
Yeah, Odomat's going to do it and just crush.
Exactly. See if he gets bored like Herbert Minor, just takes up slalom.
He's like, oh, I've completed ski racing, now I'm going to slalom.
Exactly. Job done. I think he probably has completed it, to be fair. Or no, actually, he's still busy Wendy Holdening the downhill, isn't he? So,
You think he's going to retire if he wins a downhill? He's like, oh, done now.
I think he might just take the rest of the month off. So if he does it in like Wengen, then he'll just, I don't know, he could just still win the overall, and just take the rest of January off as a like reward to himself for doing so well.
Yeah, but then his kids will right after, so he would want to win that as well.
Yeah, but you know, whatever, he'll do it. He'll do that next year.
Just gotta be careful. Dave keeps racking up those points if you're chasing him down.
Yeah, you know, Dave might go.
Take
He's
a whole month off and Dave wins six slaloms in a row. You're in trouble.
Dave's going to get bored and start doing downhill.
Don't do it, Dave. Don't listen to him.
We
Terrible
should.
idea.
So I think that kind of brings us to the end of. There's not too much to say about Michaela Schifrin's domination of that slalom. So I think it's time to start talking picks for this coming weekend. The men are in action in Adelboden racing GS and slalom. The women are over in Kranskagora racing GS and slalom. Now, before there's like a stop clock between see who can say Odomat and Schifrin first. I kind of feel like Marcel, I know you want to take this very seriously, so I don't want to say that we shouldn't pick Odomat.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. Let's just pick someone else.
Let's take Odomat out of
Swaying
the
with a bit of a master
equation.
saying, "You can't change the rules. I've got the
That
rule
was
book."
very easy. I wonder what's happened. Has he just maybe just realized that he's not actually very good at the picking of the people, so now he needs an excuse.
I might have some inside information.
Right, okay. All right, fair. So Adelboden GS. Ben, would you like to go first?
I mean, we're not allowed to pick Odomat.
Yeah, we're cancelling Odomat.
Still pick Schwarz if you want.
Yeah,
Thinking about it.
It's a top tier out of the occasion, though. So,
I'm gonna go Kranjic.
I'm gonna say Christofferson. What are you gonna say, Marcel?
Gonna say Supersic. I thought you were gonna take Supersic.
He was he, I mean, that was pretty epic skiing in Altimadea, so he could get that done. I just think we're going to see a reaction from old Henrik. Marcel, Slalom Sunday, who would you like?
On Slalom Sunday, I said Timon Haugen.
No, that's who I was going to pick. I've even written him down.
Tough luck.
You little.
Oh.
All right. Clement Noel.
I mean, if I was picking the person highest in the standings, I'd probably end up picking Day, but I've been told I'm not allowed again. Okay, I'll go back to Manny Fella, see if he can actually keep it on the podium this week for me.
Okay, on to the women in Kranskagora. I think I am going to go with Grenier. Marcel?
Then you go first.
Brignoni, obviously.
I mean, are we not allowed to pick shipping, you say?
Yeah, I think no Schifrin.
Okay.
Although
It's down.
that one's a bit closer though, isn't it? I mean, she only won
This
by
is GS.
0.4.
Yeah.
I just go for.
If you really want to, Marcel, you can.
No, I won't. No, I don't like to. I go for Ellis Robinson. I think she's getting back up there.
Fair dues,
She's
fair
had
dues.
she's one of her wins was Kranjčagora as well, wasn't
It was.
it? Is that your
Look at
inside knowledge, Marcel? You've just been
him.
Googling results.
Look at him. Okay, on to slalom, which we definitely can't pick Michaela Schifrin. And I'm going to go first, and I'm going to go classic Lena Dhur.
Old school head pick, I like it.
Yeah.
Go on, Marcel. There you go.
I go for Ellie Neulmeyer. Go on,
Ooh,
Ellie.
nice. It's a left field pick.
I'm going to go Vlahova because I don't think she can have
It's a
another left.
hill where, in theory, if you were looking at it on paper, you go, she should do quite good there, using her strength.
I was also thinking she's going to be powered by a lot of rage after last weekend, and really want
Powered
to
by
make things
rage.
make things right. She's been our catchphrase. I think after the weekend she just had, although by normal human standards, two top tens in a World Cup weekend, brilliant going. She will be very annoyed by it, so hopefully she'll
Yeah, she'll be
channel
livid.
that into some
She'll be absolutely
extra
livid.
work for this weekend.
Yeah, mate, she's gonna be fired by rage. I like it. That should be her catchphrase. That's gonna be her hashtag, because she definitely listens to the pod. Gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, bye for now.